Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Do you want a break from the ads?
Not really. I like them.
You like them?
No.
Well, if you're not a freak like Anna, you can join our Patreon for $5 a month and get so many exclusive things.
Yes.
Like ad-free episodes.
Hell yeah.
Exclusive voting power on one of the books we read a month.
Democracy.
Behind-the-scenes content. And an exclusive secret Patreon, secret podcast.
The secret podcast
called Ask Anna and Austin.
Yes.
Where Anna and Austin, which is me and Anna over here, answer questions that you ask us, the patrons.
Yes, ask us things and we will give you the answers.
And we'll add Reddit questions because they're horrible in there.
Yeah, truly.
There's a new tier we just added recently with the $2.50 tier called Just Want to Support. It gives you access to some basic text posts on the Patreon, and the main thing it gives access to is it gives you partial access to our Discord, which is now a private community,
mm-hmm.
to help us take some stress off the cast.
Yes.
And it helps us give a more curated experience for our patrons on the server. And you get access to one of the three live events we plan on doing. We get access to the Wesley's movie nights, where a bunch of the cast gets on the Discord and we watch a movie. So go to our Patreon. It's in the description. Become a Dear Reader today. Get access to the content and get our love and admiration forever.
Hell yes. Also, fuel my coffee addiction. I'm a millennial.
This is an Encounter Co. podcast. Enjoy.
Good morning, and welcome back to Reading Isn't for Kids, and a book review club podcast where two grown adults read and review a children's chapter book and sometimes comics. My name is Austin.
Excuse me, my name is Anna.
Try to just do me a favor and make as little edits as I have to do.
Sure.
My beautiful bride. When we got married, it was at the courthouse, and it was a beautiful ceremony.
Yeah. Yeah, it was during COVID, and we wore masks and everything, so.
Uh-huh. Didn't even have a ring.
Nope.
Well, we had a ring, but it was for a piano-fingered white woman.
Yeah. It's for skinny people.
Like bone skinny people, not like healthy skinny people. Today, we read and reviewing Babysitter's Little Sister number two, Karen's Roller Skates by Ann M. Martin. The blurb to get you interested in this book is, watch out, Karen!
Watch out, Karen!
And it, again, this is the third book that our daughter has just mutilated.
She has a hard time controlling her emotions. This one she ripped up because she stabbed me in the eye. And when I was very upset, because I was in pain, she had a panic attack and ripped the book up while we were tending to my eye.
I have fixed it for the most part. I am sad that the message that was written inside the cover I can't read anymore, though.
Yeah.
Because it was to someone, some 80s, 90s name.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't you.
No.
From Grandma and Grandpa. So, I was a little sad that that wasn't there.
Yeah. 80s girl forever forgotten because of our daughter.
Mm-hmm. Because this was printed in. This was the first printing in December. This was in December 1988. Mm-hmm. This is the first print babysitter. It was worth maybe $5 before. Now it's worth nothing.
Yeah, now it's worth nothing.
Now it's worth virtual. Like, I don't think we couldn't give this. I don't think a library would even take this.
No.
That's how fuck. I mean, like, it's just the cover. But it was in almost, I mean, it was a little ripped up in the corner. Like, it was coming, it needed some tape because the binding was ripping, but.
I have a lot of first printings of the series.
I mean, they're not worth, it's like Beanie Babies.
They're not worth anything, but like, you know, just to be like, I have first printings of Babysitter Little Sister.
This is a book.
Yeah, it was pretty boring.
This one was so boring. The first one wasn't as boring.
Well, it had some excitement to it. Is there a witch? Is there not a witch?
We gave the first book a 6 out of 10. Just before we gave this book, the first book, a 6 out of 10. We're not going to give our ratings yet for this, but that's what we're basing it against, basically. Is the 6 out of 10 first book, which was about a witch. But this book, it's not about a witch.
No. It's about roller skates.
It's really more about a child lying.
Yeah.
So basically the book starts out with Karen being a menace on her roller skates.
Yeah.
She almost running over her brother Andrew and her friend Nancy.
More than once.
Yeah, she's like, it's easier for them to get out of my way. Which is a very Xer thing and a very Karen white woman thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how many times, like, when we're picking up kids from school, do the parents, like, Karens or parents just, they don't move. They just let you.
Yeah. They'll stand in the middle of the sidewalk, which, if it's snowy and the yard is snowy, but, like, it'll be, like, in the springtime and they'll just stand in the middle of the sidewalk.
Or they'll be walking.
Instead of standing in the grass.
They'll be walking down the path, and instead of just staying on the left or right side, wherever traffic has naturally gone, for the go down way, they'll just be in the go up way.
Yeah.
So you have to stop. And it's like, Austin, just run into them. You don't understand. I'm a very large man. So if I ran into these little women.
Yeah. There'll be parents like on the right side, like, you know, the line's kind of going slow because they're standing and waiting for their child to walk over them. And then they'll turn around and walk to their cars on the left side. Well, there'll always be some white woman walking down the left side because they're impatient.
And we're the youngest parents, I think, there.
Some of the youngest, yeah.
I think there's three of us.
There's not very many young
parents.
There's
three or four of us that are under the age of 30, 35. That's me being being conservative, saying 35.
They're all old.
They're all boomers or Gen X.
Which is insane.
Which I was excited because on TikTok, all I hear from teachers is that these millennials don't know how to raise children. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, at least there'll be other people our age.
Millennial who?
There isn't any fucking millennials there.
That or, like, all the millennial parents are fucking working.
Yeah, they're fucking just dropping them off.
Yeah.
No, it's strange. It's strange. And then the other millennial parents are like the quiet kids in school, so like they don't.
Yeah.
They're just like, you try to talk to them and they're like, you're giving them a panic attack by talking to them.
Yeah.
So.
Or they're staunch fucking right-wing conservatives. Yeah. And you're just like, yeah, I don't.
And then
one set
of parents we were kind of working with, our daughter flung applesauce all over them. So they're no longer, I think, gonna be our friends.
Probably not.
They weren't our friends, but I think.
Yeah, we were on the track, like, you know, getting invited over for play dates once, and then our daughter threw applesauce at them.
So.
Exciting.
But yeah, that's not what this book's about. Her father is like, hey, Karen, you're a little daredevil. Because she's just wild on her skates.
Yeah.
She's just wild on her skates.
She's a wild child.
And Karen and Andrew are going to their dad's early because remember their parents are divorced, so they they'd have 50-50 custody or whatever. But they live in the same town.
Mm-hmm.
Or
they live on opposite sides of town.
Yeah, her dad is rich and her mom is middle class.
Yes.
Which is weird. Which is exactly my situation. So I guess it's not that weird.
Right.
When I was a kid, that was how it was growing up. Except my parents weren't fucking cool like Karen's parents. Karen's got four cool parents.
Yeah. And they're all, like, genuinely happy to be co-parenting. Like, the parents are never fighting. Like, they're never...
You never really see them interact, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, they're not, like, about to beat each other's ass in the school parking lot, which is what I experienced.
Right.
But, because you didn't have the... you had the divorce thing, but you didn't have the like, going back and forth thing, right?
No.
Yeah. Because Seth is their stepdad, which I think we just learned. We didn't know his name in the previous book. But they're going on a fancy vacation to Maine.
Yeah, they're going to Maine.
They're going on a fuck vacation is what they're doing.
Yeah. That's a vacation where you're not doing things.
You're doing
each other.
You're doing some holes. That's what you're doing. You like maybe go to like a museum or something, but no, you're going to Hole Town, which is what
you're
eating
some lobster.
Which is like and that's why that's like a especially in the 80s, that's like a $100 round trip in a car.
Yeah.
Cause I think this is set in California.
I'm guessing so.
So it was a plane. That they would take a plane. But
probably. But
in the '80s, dude, planes were like planes were like $3.08. And you got customary blowjobs.
Oh, stewardess.
My only knowledge of 80s airplanes is the movie Airplane. So. Karen is sad she can't go. Her parents aren't sad because they're going on a fuck vacation. But she's excited she gets to practice her new tricks. Because I'm assuming Dad's a little bit more lenient on the roller skates.
Probably, but it's also because they have like 7 kids in the house.
Yeah, but 3 of them are in high school.
That's true.
So, I mean, it's not like Dad's not neglecting her.
No.
It's just, it seems, well, they have a bigger house, so I think she just has the chance to do more bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, Mom's house is normal size, so, like, Mom always probably can see and hear things.
Yeah.
So, I don't think it's like, either of her parents are strict, because I don't think they have to be.
No. This is the 80s.
Because, well, even Karen and Andrew get along, and they're, like, 5 and 6.
Yeah.
And Karen can, like, fully articulate words and is, like, going to different houses when they're 6. Could not imagine Rowan doing any of that. Well, Rowan can fully speak, but, like...
Yeah.
Just going across the street, like, you know, I...
Yeah, no.
I get nervous watching him walk into school.
Yeah, right.
Not, like, because I don't trust him. It's just I don't trust anyone. You know what I mean?
Right.
But... Let's see... Day early, then it's Saturday all of a sudden, and she explains how she has 2 of everything, but not 2 of Tickly. So she fucking ripped Tickly in half.
Yeah, she told us that in the first book. She has half of a blanket at each house, because she doesn't want to have to remember to bring it.
Oh, Tickly's a blanket.
Tickly's a blanket, yeah.
I thought Tickly was a stuffed animal.
Moosey is the stuffed animal, but
Moosey and Tickly was a stuffed animal. So I was like, well, very Sophie's Choice of you, Karen. You know what I mean? I thought she was ripping, like, a fucking stuffed animal and, like, but, like, bisecting it.
No, Tickly's the blanket.
And I put here, okay, oh yeah, I have some pages I want to talk about. We have page 2. We get things she can do on her skates, which I thought was very fucking funny, honestly.
Right.
It says, here are the things I can do. 1, skate forward. 2, skate forward fast. 3, skate backward. Not so fast. 4, I can turn around. 5, stop without falling down. Which is some foreshadowing.
Yeah.
And then 6, try in any trick I see. But then she's like, that 6 one's a lie.
Yeah. She's like, I'm not actually allowed to do tricks.
And then right here, because I don't remember all the pets' names, but I remember this pet's name because The cat's name is Boo Boo.
Yeah, Boo Boo.
That is the best cat name I've ever heard in my life.
The old fat cat.
And there's some fucking Boo Boo slander here, dude. He does not do a thing except eat, sleep, meow, and claw the furniture. Fucking Boo Boo slander, dude.
Boo Boo's the old cat. He's like an old grumpy cat.
Yeah, it's her dad's cat.
Yeah.
He like only likes her dad, I think she says. And the dog. It likes the dog.
Yes.
They sleep together. The dog's name's like Riley or something. I keep thinking Carly, Sam and Carly is her older brothers, older stepbrothers. I keep thinking Carly is a girl.
Charlie.
Oh.
His name's Charlie.
Oh, why? I didn't see the H. Am I having a stroke?
Yeah, Sam and Charlie are the oldest.
That's what I was... I mean, Carly can be a boy's name. I just... It's the 80s, so...
Yeah.
I was thinking it was... So, like, this whole time, and then eventually she's like, oh, my two brothers, and I'm like, but that one's a girl.
His name is Charlie.
I know. I get that now, but I just somehow missed that.
Yeah, it's Sam, Charlie, Christy...
And David Michael.
David Michael.
Which pisses me off. And then Andrew Brewer.
Yes, Andrew.
And Karen Brewer.
Yes.
There's a lot of fucking people in this book.
Yeah.
There's so many. In the other book, there wasn't. There was like four people. But this book, Anne M's like, you know what? Lore! Pia! Lore! Pia! Kid lore! What? I'm sorry. I'm trying to make it exciting. This book's very boring.
We're like four pages in.
We're 12.
Okay.
Also, they mentioned here that some of the kids go to private school, but some don't. Does Christy go to private school?
I don't think so. I think Christy goes to public school.
So everyone, just Karen and Andrew go to private school. Karen goes to private school.
She must. I don't know.
She says that. She says because she thinks she's happy David Michael doesn't because he doesn't want to deal with him. And I went, ooh, that I didn't like that. That felt a little.
Well, David Michael's an asshole to her. That's why
they're mean to each other.
Yeah.
But just the way she said it, it was very like snobby. You know what I mean? I know she didn't mean it like that, but like that's what that's gonna turn into. It felt like. But I said, oh, they're rich, huh?
Yeah.
I just don't know why.
I think the step siblings go to public school and. Karen and Andrew go to private school.
It's because Elizabeth probably wants them to go to public school. She doesn't want them to be, I don't know.
Yeah.
More worldly or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I prefer public school over private schools.
Yeah.
Unless that private school is, like, specialized.
Yeah.
Which there really isn't any anymore except in California. In California, there'll be, like, an art high school or...
Like a STEM center, like...
Yeah. That's probably what they're talking about here, because if this is based in California, but like around here, it's all like, this is a Catholic public school,
this is private a Catholic
school,
private school.
Yeah. So my knowledge of private,
or like Montessori schools.
Yeah. My knowledge in reference for private schools is religious based. So it kind of has that weird tint to it, where like some other people from different parts of the country are going to be like, it's not that. You know what I mean? It's still. Expensive, but it is kind of like how Miles Morales is going to a...
Like a STEM school.
Mm-hmm. Because he's smart.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Also, she says a sweet thing that Andrew and her wish her parents weren't divorced so she could see everyone every day. I just thought it was sweet, so I mentioned it. Because again, it's just from her perspective, so we don't get anyone's... And she's a year older than Judy B. Jones. There's some bullshit with her having to walk a dog that I thought was going to be the accident she gets in, but it's not.
No.
And
I thought that I definitely thought the dog was going to tangle around her legs and she was going to trip and fall.
No, that should have been what it was. But no, she's like, I'm going to go skating, but I forgot my wrist guards, but it'll be okay this one time.
Yeah.
I've never skated. I refused to do it in gym class and stuff because I was so bad.
I like skating.
It's so hard. I have no balance. My equilibrium's never been right. So, like, I can't grasp it. My brain grasps it. I know it's like pizza, french fry, or what, you know, and stuff like, there's, like, techniques.
she's like, hey, Andrew, I'm going to do a trick. And Andrew's like, that's not a good idea. You're not supposed to do that. And she's like, no, it'll be fine. I'm going to jump over these two coffee cans.
With a ramp.
With a ramp. And, like, it'll be super cool. And he's like, okay. And so she does it, and she does the trick just fine.
She kills it.
She kills it. And she lands, and she, like, turns around.
She does a spin, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she, like, does a spin at the end. And she, like, turns around to smile at Andrew. And as she's turning around to look at him, that's when she trips and lands directly on her wrist and snaps it backwards.
Because you're not supposed to do this, right? You're supposed to, like, tuck your hands if you fall.
Yeah, you're supposed to use, like...
your shoulder. So she like, fate put her hands straight down to stop herself. And your little kid, especially, wrists aren't strong enough to...
No.
Just, I mean, like, even adults will break their wrists, but it's more likely for children, obviously, because they're still all gooey.
Yeah.
I imagine kids just have goo bones until they're about 10 or 12.
No, really. Like, there's large amounts of space between their bones.
Yeah.
Until they're, like, but 8.
How she describes it is she bent it all the way. Like, it's, like, bent. I can't remember if it was, like, this or, like, this, but it's, like, at a 90-degree angle.
Yeah, no, she, like, snapped it.
And Andrew's like, oh.
He's like, oh.
Kid's traumatized. He's never going to forget that. Because she, like, holds it up for him.
And she's like, she, like, whispers at him. She's like, please go get Dad.
She's like, I've never seen him run. So I was like, yeah, dude.
Like, I'm pretty sure Andrew is crying because he sees it and he starts bawling.
Well, yeah, because he's scared for her.
Yeah. And the dad's like, he like comes out and he gets her.
He's being so sweet, too. He's not even angry right away.
And she's like, I'm sorry. She's like, I didn't get my wrist straps. And he's like, that literally does not matter right now.
I just got to make sure you're okay. And he like picks her up.
It's all good.
And then they call Dr. Dellenkamp.
Wow.
Her girl doctor.
Wow. Female doctor.
Dude, it's the 80s, dude.
It's giving Barbie.
She got shoulder pads.
Under her doctor lab coat.
Yeah, dude. And then Christy tells her mom that she wants to go with, so Elizabeth stays back. But Elizabeth's also so nice.
Yeah.
I'm just so shocked. Like, pleasantly surprised that there's all the step sibling people are nice and stuff.
I don't know. I think she just wanted some sort of positive representation of, like, divorced parents.
I think this is how, it's obviously how it's supposed to be. I think most of the time it is like this. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just the bad ones are so vocal.
Mm-hmm.
Dang it. I'm just so annoying about it. And so, because Christy wants to, because Christy's... Is Christy just the mom of all the babysitters? Is that her thing?
Yeah, she's the main, character of the babysitter club. She's the one who forms the babysitter club because she's like, she loves kids so much that she's like, hey, let's start a club because we all like babysitting kids and like we can make a business out of it and we can make money and like, you know, we can pool our money together and do stuff and, you know, we're a business. So.
Give each other tips.
Yeah.
We probably should have started with that series, Christiana.
We could have.
You picked both of these books. I'm not mad. I don't think there's a right way to read them.
Yeah. Well, Babysitter Little Sister is the spinoff of the Babysitter Club.
Yeah. At the hospital, she gets some x-rays taken, and she mentions how she doesn't like the smell of the hospital,
mm-hmm.
which I've said that before. I was like, I do not like how they smell.
It's because everything's sterile. Yeah.
It's not the vibe. The vibes don't creep me out unless it's like a underlit hallway or something. I'm not like scared to go there, but like, I mean, you know how I am with smell specifically. Like,
yeah.
I can smell, like, I'll be down here fucking like as far away from the cat box and I'll smell her taking a peewee. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like someone has BO, I'm going to know. Mm-hmm. Even if they're like across the room and the wind's blowing away. So yeah, no, the smell, it makes me nauseous. Not because it smells bad, but just because it's so much.
Right.
And it's not like necessarily, it's like a mixture of like bleach and formaldehyde and like debt.
Yeah.
Let's see, what we got here? Karen is taken to a room to wait for the bone doctor.
The bone doctor.
And after like a minute, she tells her that tells her dad and sister she's bored.
Yeah.
And she's still holding her broken rib. And that's just fucking accurate for a 6-year-old.
She's like, Christy told me 3 elephant jokes. And dad sang a song about marching ants.
What were the elephant jokes? I'm so confused. They don't mention the elephant jokes.
No, they don't tell us what the elephant jokes are.
Maybe. Wait, hold on. And then the bone doctor uses a vacuum machine to put her bones in place?
Yeah.
I've never broken a bone. They suck the bone?
I don't know. I broke my arm when I was like 3 years old, so.
And this also could be an outdated technique, too.
Could be.
But they put like on her fingers, they put like a sucky vacuum or something. That's how she describes it. And like it sucks her wrist bones back in place. Because she fucked them up.
Yeah.
She like shattered. She like snapped them.
Yes.
And she doesn't feel it because they give her drugs to like make it not hurt, obviously, because that would fucking hurt.
Yeah. She's like, I have to do a shot.
And then she gets a cast. And she gets sad because she won't be able to use both hands. Like, she just puts it together now.
She's like, oh, man.
Also, her dad just called Karen's mom when they got home. Boy, is the 80s a wild time.
Yeah, they waited until...
They waited, like, 5 hours before telling her. I mean, there wasn't, like, really, like... Everyone didn't have a cell phone or anything. Like, there was, like, those big bulky ones or whatever, but... I noted it because I was, again, I'm just like...
Oh, we also find out dad's name. His name's Watson.
Her dad's name's Watson?
Something like that, yeah.
That fucks, dude. Man, that's how...
Checking in, he's like, yeah, it's Watson Brewer.
That's how he got the baddie, which is Elizabeth. Elizabeth's just Sigourney Weaver. That's the actress that's
yeah,
playing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She still has her gun from Alien, though. The bone doctor asks Karen how it happened, and she gets all embarrassed, so she starts lying.
Yeah.
And she's like, there was 3 cans, and there was a caterpillar, and I didn't want to squish it, so that's why I fell. And Andrew is, like, very upset she's lying.
Yeah.
But doesn't narc on her right away.
No, this is the next day, because the doctor asked her to come back the next day, which I've literally never heard of.
Sure. And then... But he's like, you'll be wearing it for 2 months, and that she cannot roller skate. And then
she's like, "Aw," she's like, "My legs aren't broken though."
And your dad's like, "Dude, the cast weighs like 3 pounds. You're way off balance." And then in the lobby, she meets Ricky, who is the first classmate we've ever met that isn't one of her neighbors.
Yes,
and he broke his leg because he fell down the stairs.
I fell down the stairs. Daddy didn't push me.
Well, not even that, because like they're like talking and Karen tells this elaborate story.
She's like, there were 6 cans and I jumped over all of them. And there was a caterpillar with her baby.
And Ricky's like, I fell down the stairs.
Also, my dad knows a famous baseball player and he's going to sign my cast.
Dude, Ricky's so funny. I fell down the stairs. I widowy fell down the stairs.
I was widowy
just walking, and I twipped over my toy Buzz Lightyear. Oh, no, I'm sorry. My toy G.I. Joe.
I stepped in an army man, and so I said, ow, 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 and then I fell down the stairs.
And this is where we get into the main conflict of the book, which is Ricky didn't agree to this, but the fucking cast signing contest.
Yeah.
That Ricky, they don't get into, but Ricky.
Yeah, no, all Ricky says is he's like, my dad knows a famous baseball player, and he's going to sign my cast. And Karen's like, really? And he's like, yeah, it's going to be awesome. See you at school on Monday. And then leaves. And she's like, I need to get a better signature than the famous baseball player.
I also looked up, I couldn't find a baseball player named Herbert Gregory, which is a baseball player name, especially from the 80s.
Herbert Gregory.
Well, there was, like, Daryl Strawberry was someone's name, so, like, you know.
Larry Bird.
Now
that was basketball, though.
I mean, yeah, same thing.
Same thing. Oh, my God, baseball and basketball, same thing.
Actually, I could watch a game of basketball. It's actually interesting.
Of basketball?
I could actually watch it. It's actually interesting. It's not fucking 9 fucking innings of just nothing happening. That's the only, I think football's fine, but yes.
Football is fine.
There's too many pauses.
Not enough blood.
I want that to be MMA, but bad football. I want it to be like that Blood Bowl game I played. Just killing each other.
I wish the football was more like my video games.
She tells Elizabeth, wait, when Karen gets home, she gets signatures from everyone, including Boo Boo and Shannon, which is pretty cute.
Shannon, that's the dog's name.
And Boo Boo hisses.
Yeah.
And like, Shannon doesn't wake up. Shannon is out. Shannon has gotten to Daddy's whiskey stash. Then she tells Elizabeth she needs to get more signatures, and she heads over to Hanny's house.
Which I hate the fact that her name is Hanny and not Hannah or like
Hanalyn,
Hattie or.
Then she starts lying even more about her injury.
She's like, there was 12 cans,
double twists,
and I flipped, and there was 5 caterpillar babies.
And Hanny and her brother are like enthralled with the story, but Hanny's parents are like.
Like, what the fuck? Okay, kid.
And then everyone signs it, but not Sarah because she is too small.
Yeah.
And their dog Noodle and their pet turtle.
Noodle the Poodle.
Oh, yeah, Noodle the Poodle. These are the names I can get behind.
Noodle the Poodle.
Stop naming your dog Steven.
Shannon. Don't name your dog Shannon. Name it Noodle the Poodle.
I'm just against, unless it's like a funny name like Herbert. You know what I mean?
Galdorf.
Or like, you know, like this is and it's like a stupid dog with like cross eyes. This is my dog, Leonardo. And he's like, "Whoa." That's funny. But if you're like, this is my
dog Giovanni.
That one's good. And he's got a little suit cuz it's like Pokemon's.
Yeah.
And then Hanny and Karen get in a fight because of their bitch-ass friend Amanda.
She's like, oh yeah, I'm going to have like Amanda go sign. And she's like, you know that Amanda and I are very enemies.
Very big enemies.
Very big enemies. And Karen's like, okay. She's like, come or don't, I'm still going over there.
Yeah, centrist Karen. It's like, I'm in the middle of this.
And Hanny's like, I'm not coming. And she's like, okay, then don't. And then she's like, I'm really not. And Karen's like, okay, I don't care. Goodbye.
And Karen's like, I don't understand why they don't dislike each other. And it's never explained, but Amanda's kind of just mean.
I wonder if Hanny goes to public school and Amanda goes to, like, private school
because,
or something.
Yeah, because Amanda is, like, a little snotty when she goes over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, they go over there and she's talking to the babysitter, Shannon Kilborn, which is the coolest fucking name ever. That's right. This is two Shannons.
Two Shannons. And, dog Shannon and babysitter Shannon.
And couldn't think of another girl name.
I wonder if it was like, I was going to say she Googled top 180s names. Good job, brain.
An even more exaggerated story. And then everyone signs the cast. Max tells Karen about Francis Morton, who I looked up is a real person. They are, and that's who, like, they know. That's, like, his aunt cuts his hair.
Yeah.
And he's, like, who I think was an American record producer that worked primarily in the 60s and 70s, and then got riddled with alcoholism, and then came back in the 90s, and then he passed away, like, in the teens, 2013 or something.
Nice.
So I think that's who they're referencing, which is, like, a funny joke for 1988, because, like, a kid wouldn't know that, but, like, an adult might know that.
Right.
And I didn't recognize any of the songs, but the wiki said they were popular songs and stuff. But I just thought that was interesting, because, like, that's a real person, but I could not find Herbert Gregory.
Are you sure it's Herbert Gregory? Let me look. You thought that Charlie was Carly, so.
Okay, well, let's pause this. Hold on. Okay, she looked it up. It was Hubert, not Herbert, but still, there's no Hubert Gregory, and that's a baseball player.
So, at least not that we could find.
I mean, it's all pretty well documented. I just think she just made up a name. Frances Morton is probably something she just made up. It just happened
to be.
Because, like, you know, every name ever. I have some funny jokes that Sam and Charlie wrote on her. Sam writes, yours till the banana splits. Ha 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 ha, Sam. And then Charlie wrote, "Roses are red, cabbages are green. My face is funny, but yours is a scream. Your brother, Charlie."
Love it.
And then Christy wrote, "Roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, and so are you."
How very Christy.
And then Daddy wrote, "It's an eyeball in A.
It's a super detailed eyeball."
And then an A plus adore you. I adore you.
I adore you.
And then Elizabeth wrote, "Yours till ice screams." Love, Elizabeth. And then there's the paw prints. This one is just a sized up that.
Also, what does Ricky's mean? Can you go back and read Ricky's? Yes.
It says, someone had written, "Ricky's cast looked like an autograph book. I lean over to see it better. Someone had written,
too wise you are, too wise you be. I see you are too wise for me." Oh. It was not clicking.
I did have to read it out loud, too, when I first read it. But you're supposed to. "Too wise you are, too wise you be. I see you are too wise for me." Very 1980s.
Yeah.
Amanda wrote, "Read, see that me, up will I love, and you love you, and down and you are and." I know, that was a joke. She wrote it, it's like, "Read up and down, and you will see that I love you, and you love me." I just thought it was, I just remembered that. Like, the picture of the guy, the girl running, and there's, like, the guy floating, and it's that. It's read, see that me.
Read, see that me.
And then Shannon wrote, "Best witches, wishes." And then Max wrote, "Hi from Max."
Hi from Max.
Dude, Max is a whole mood, dude.
I love Max.
Max is a mood. And then we get, they go outside finally. Because, yeah. Oh, also, Amanda's like, "You're not getting my crusty white dog's autograph."
Yeah, she's like, it'll be dirty.
They don't describe the dog, but it has to be crusty white.
Yeah.
What is that, a bird? A plane? No, that's a new D&D podcast called Afterlife. In Afterlife, we follow four strangers as they're tasked by death to go into the world of the Infinite Domain and find and defeat their pillars. But enough about the general story. Let's meet our strangers.
Hi, my name is Aaron Rash, and I play Ophelia Afton.
That was how the key fell out of his prison wallet into you.
How did he hold his prison wallet?
You know,
no pocket.
That's exactly how he held his prison wallet.
Oh, shit.
My name is Tyler Waddell, and I play Lucas Gray.
What are you guys at?
I'm at 86.
59.
78.
Okay.
So, oh, we're right there. We're good.
I'm still bigger than all of you.
Yeah, can I kill Lucas?
Sacrifice.
Can I strike Lucas?
Hi, I'm Raven Reed, and I play Ariana Wren. He said, "Oh, he's talking. Come and go. Shoot and scoot. Ejaculate and evacuate."
Hello, my name is McCandless Harrison, and I play Fandalto Pendleton.
I'm going to scream,
"Your soul is forfeit."
And I'm going to use this, like, it almost looks like a hammer of dawn, just smites him into the ground and yanks him into the ground, pulling him piece by piece.
He's so fucking edgy.
Literally. And myself, Britton Gifford, as the DM, that man has finally came back and has taken the body of Azrael. Ripped us. What?
You said came.
Oh my god, Jesus. Fuck.
I told you it was gonna happen every time.
I'm not ready to go. I'm not ready to leave. I need answers for this pain, for the struggle, for the struggle. Please let me know. Peace is all I need. Till then, I'ma push, I'ma pull, I'ma fight. Wherever I go, my destiny is near. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll pay whatever the price. Cause all I really know is even in the end, I'ma find a way to live, even in our afterlife.
To Karen, one of my best customers, best wishes, Roger Jones. Because we get Mr. fucking Tasty in the house,
dude. We get Mr. Tasty, the ice cream man.
Dude.
And then he's like, "Oh no, Karen, what happened?" She's like, tells this crazy ass story again. She's ramping it up each time. And then he's like, "Oh, I'll sign your cast, you know." And then he signs it Roger. And she's like, "Who is Roger?"
Well, first he's like, "Are you sure that's what happened?" And Andrew's like, "No, Andrew didn't say she's lying," which is like nice. Mm-hmm. Andrew says that that story is too big, which I think we should start saying, instead of saying that our kids are lying, maybe saying
that story seems is too a little big. Too big.
I think that's way more gentle, because Karen, it like kind of made it less embarrassing for her.
Yeah.
And also everyone was so like, okay. Because like she explains what happened and everyone's like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
So like no one's making fun of her.
Yeah. And she's like, who's Roger? He's like, that's me. And she's like, your name's not Mr. Tasty?
He's like, no, that's just my company.
He's like, no, it's just the name of the company. He's like, my name's Roger. And she's like, can you just write Mr. Tasty on there, please?
I mean, everyone calls him Mr. Tasty. She's like, probably doesn't give a shit. I mean.
Right.
And it's weird. Okay, so like, I want to talk about this. First off, it's 50 cents for ice cream, which is pretty buck wild.
Yeah.
Anyway, we don't really see ice cream trucks anymore.
No.
And if we do, they're like, they look like Sweet Tooth's ice cream truck. Like, they're run down and, like, pretty old, right?
Cause
like,
yeah.
And also, the ice cream, the depiction of this man is, like, way different than, like, what we get depicted nowadays when they depict ice cream truck workers, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, wearing a white suit. He has a hat. He's, like, he's almost like the milkman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, nowadays, they're either depicted as, like when you see them, they're, like grumpy people, or they're, like, full of tattoos and piercings, and they're still super nice.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just, like, you don't, it's not, like, the prim and proper you see anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was really interesting. And also, usually the grumpy ones are the ones that are unfriendly. The tattooed people are usually so fucking nice.
Yeah.
But, like, I just want to clarify that for our listeners so they don't think I'm like, tattoos are evil. I just, because, like, when I think of an ice cream man, that's what I think. I think of just, like, a big burly guy serving me ice cream with, like, a fucking Led Zeppelin shirt on. and they also don't do scoops anymore.
No, it's like a half-melted...
Leonardo. Or like it'll be like an ice, like they just bought it from, it'll be like an ice cream sandwich,
right,
that you're paying $5 for,
right? Or like Rip Choco Tacos, but Choco Tacos.
Can we not bring up Choco Tacos? I'm still recovering.
My heart hurts.
We need to get a matching Choco Taco tattoo.
Yes.
And it says word easy above it. Word so easy word above so it. That's easy. What we gotta do. And they gotta have little assault rifles. That's what we gotta do. Also, Fudge Sickle and Snow Cone name drops, dude.
I saw that.
Dude, fucking Fudge. Do they even make Fudge Sickle and Snow Cone anymore? I see Fudge Sickles, but they're not name brand Fudge Sickles. And after he leaves, the three kids, Andrew, Hanny, and Karen, see Morbidia Destiny, the Whoa. Town witch, which is just, I'm pretty sure, just a sapphic lesbian.
Yeah. The witch from the first book.
Yeah. They're like, oh, they devise a plan to get the witch's autograph, and then they ask her, but they have lucky items to keep them safe.
Yeah, like a rabbit's foot.
And a rock. That she says is lucky to keep Hanny happy. Tabitha Porter, that's her name, that's morbid, that's her real name, and yeah. She signs it, and she draws a sick little cat next to it. And dude?
And Karen's like, she put a curse on me.
Put a curse on me.
And then, like, she runs and, like, tells her dad. She's like, oh, my God, look. And he's like, oh, cute. She drew midnight. And she's like, oh, yeah.
it's really cool looking.
It's cute. I like it.
It's cool.
That's cool.
That'd be a cute little tattoo. I've been on a tattoo kick the past 12 hours. When it's time to go back to her mother's, they get picked up, and her mom says that her movie star friend, Amy Morris, can sign the cast, and Karen ends the story with ideas that no matter what happens, it is okay. Which is why, I don't know how she got there. She wasn't like that 15 pages ago, so I don't know.
Right. I don't know. Maybe she was just happy because she was like, I win.
I'm gonna shove that little Ricky into the fucking ground when I get to school. He's gonna be like, look at my broken leg. I fell down the stairs because my parents don't love me. And then she's like, I got all these cool. I got the witch and Mr. Tasty.
Mr. Tasty.
Right, Ricky.
And I have a turtle.
She breaks his other leg.
Weak. Quah.
Ricky. She runs over his legs with a roller skate. Roller skates.
She uses his cast like a fucking ramp. Kicks him in the head.
5 out of 10.
I'll give it a 4 out of 10.
Oh, whoa.
Is this the first time I rated it lower than you? Except for JoJo and Bobo.
Well, that's because you're kind of dumb, but...
I don't know. It was very snobby and boring.
It was very snobby and boring. Because I rated the other one 6. And I don't think this is bad, because I've read an R.L. Stein book. So, like, I know what's bad. But this isn't, like, Hitler's Daughter or...
No.
You know what I mean? I feel like reading Hitler's Daughter... Because I never believed that child fiction could, like... Not that it's not... good to read, but I didn't think there'd ever be like a like moral point to it, or like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean, that isn't like a textbook, but like Hitler's Daughter is just like a, it like brings awareness to a thing without being too graphic. It's, you know what I mean, it's interesting enough, but it's still based in fact. But yeah,
true.
5 out of 10. Yeah. It's cute. I mean, I think that's what got me the most points for it, is that the parents are nice and, like, she's, like, not that terrible of a child. Like, yeah. Junie B. Jones would eat her alive, but Junie B. Jones would beat the shit out of her, I think.
Like, Karen's, like, breaking the rules, but she does it in such, like, a relatable way. Not like Junie B. Jones, who fucking... hides in a hamper and scares her grandpa,
but
to the point where, or like, you know, tossing her baby brother across the room because she wants to sleep in the crib. Like,
I do think Junie B. Jones is better stories, though.
Yeah.
Because this feels like a 9-year-old. This doesn't feel like a 6-year-old. Like, Karen feels older than she is. But she kind of writes all of them older than what they are. Because, like, Andrew's supposed to be 4 or 5, and he's, like, pretty emotionally intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
And mature. So, I don't think Anne M. Martin met any kids before.
What a weird jump.
What? Is she alive? She's 68.
Okay.
Dude.
She's not that old.
She's still kicking, dude. Oh, she's writing Mrs. Piggly Wiggly right now. Sheesh. Mrs. Piggly Wiggly and the Sticky Fingers Cure from 2018. All right, so we're going to go to some Goodreads shit here, which I think is Christiana's favorite part of the whole thing. Right? You feel like you love these.
True.
So on Goodreads, it has a 3.68 out of 5, or just a TAR scale, a scale of 7.36, which is wild. That's way too high. Sally gave it 2 stars in 2009 and said, there wasn't any 1-star written reviews. There was, like, only, like, 12 one-star reviews out of, like, the fucking 800 or whatever there was. Sally says in 2009, I've never broken any bones, so when I was growing up, I had some kind of weird fascination with books about kids who did. It always seemed like such an easy thing to do, yet I fell over off everything and not even a sprain. I guess storybook kids are just more fragile. Weird.
Are you a psychopath?
Right? Why did they phrase it like that?
I've never broken a bone once. I've fallen off lots of things.
Maybe kids
I've
are
tried.
I tried to break a bone. Elise gave
You don't
it...
think I tried? The other guy just spit the bullet out.
Elise gave it 2-star. Sally's like, that's my secret, Karen. I'm always breaking. I'm always drinking milk.
I see these kids, they fall down. I just watch their bones shatter.
I just tuck and roll. Karen Elise gave it 2 stars in 2023 and said, Karen is full of herself in this book. She actually said she felt special getting help at home with people bringing her stuff to the living room while she had a cast on her wrist from a roller skating accident. We didn't even mention that, but she like gets pampered for a day.
For a single day. And then literally the next day, she doesn't even ask to be pampered anymore. So it's not like she's being spoiled. She was also still under medication when she got home. And then like the next morning, she's like, yeah, my wrist hurts, but like, I'm fine. I can get dressed by myself. I can brush my own hair, make my own breakfast. It's all good.
Well, yeah, because she asks Andrew to do something and he's like, no. Every time someone signed her cast, she lied more and more about how she broke it, just for attention, and kept changing her stories. Anyways, the special signatures on her cast were from her pet's paw prints, the, in quotation, witch next door, and a celebrity her mom knew. I should feel sorry for her for getting hurt, but I think she's going to grow up to be a Karen.
That's 2023. That was last year.
It was like December, too. This is recent. And I'm going to read this next one. I don't want you to look at the rating they gave it, okay?
Okay. I'm closing my eyes. Listening. ASMR.
Lay gave it 3 stars in 2020 and said, I have said it before, but I swear I think Karen Bruin is the reason I decided to not have children. I once dreamed of a home full of children that I read about her. Jenny Prezizo and the Pike triplets and suddenly peace, quiet, and solitude seemed to be a perfect life, which it totally is. In this book, Karen once again disobeys her parents, takes her new roller skates, and with Andrew and Shannon in tow, heads out on a walk. That ends with a trick, her jumping over 2 toffee cans. She lands okay, but then she slips and breaks her wrist. Finally, a consequence for the sociopathic demon child. She has to wear a cast on her arm after seeing a classmate with a broken ankle gets into a cast signing competition. I'm reading this as the punctuations are, by the way. With each person, his story grows and changes. Little Andrew knows this is wrong and tries to speak up, but Karen won't shut up long enough. Finally, the truth comes out and everyone laughs and shrugs it off, which is a great lesson for the kids in the target audience of these books. That lying is okay and there's no real consequences when you're caught or called out. Karen is the worst. She sets out to get a famous person's autograph and pesters poor Mrs. Porter, who I feel so sorry for. Of course she gets her autograph because Karen always gets what she wants. I'm not sure if I will make it through all of this series because Karen is not the most likable main character. 3 stars out of 5.
3 stars out of 5.
I only added it because 3 out of 5 is a decent rating on the Goodreads system.
Yeah.
She did not seem to like it at all. Why did she give it 3 stars?
I don't know. Also, the parents didn't tell her not to use her roller skates. I don't know where she got that from.
They told her not.
They told her not to do tricks, but like.
I just think of the sociopathic demon child.
She's 6.
Finally, consequences for the sociopathic demon child. I want that on a t-shirt. And it's just a picture of Junie B. Jones, Karen, the
Annie.
Guy, Annie. The guy from the Die Ever Wimpy Kid. And the Knight.
No, they're all on the execution block and the Knight's holding the fucking...
with Jack. Like doing the Star Wars pose. Lydia gave it 4 stars in 2011 and said, this book was a funny book full of emotions like humor, sadness, and jealousy.
I love it. Good job.
I'm not making fun of these people, by the way. I mean, I'm making fun of that last one. But like, when they're like that, I think they're so, it's so sweet.
Yes.
Brooklyn gave it 5 stars in 2018 and said, once I got to the part where she did not feel well, I felt the same.
Aw.
Hell yeah, Brooklyn. Jackie gave it 5 stars in 2019 and said, it was nice visiting an old friend. Must be almost 20 years since I last read this series.
Aw.
I just thought that it was nice, so I added that one.
It is nice.
That's also like announcing that it's nostalgia. You know what I mean? That's why they liked it so much. Which is fair. I kind of get that when I read Goosebumps, except my unbridled rage for Bob Stein bleeds through. Dude, I called Bob Stein to Matthew, and he's like, why'd you call him by that? And I'm like, we're close like that. He said, I constantly talk shit about him, and he doesn't know I exist. The quotes from this book.
I love it.
Every other weekend, he can be a pain, so I don't mind this too much.
Okay.
And the second quote was boo.
She does fucking say boo a lot. But I think it's like boo.
Yeah, it's like what
bummer.
If. Like, what if in the 90s, you know what I mean?
Boo, tomato.
There was one discussion, and I only included it because I don't remember why, but I thought it must have been unhinged or something. It's from Karen's Roller Skates Discussions. It says, roller skating is the discussion. And it says, this book shows a trick that I might be able to do. From April 18th, 2009, and fucking no one interacted with it.
That's so funny.
It's just...
I love it.
Goodreads was a nightmare. Is this like... It's like a nightmare, but it's not, like, toxic. You know what I mean? So, like...
Yeah.
It's like the chaos of the internet I used to love without any of the toxicity, which I hated.
Yeah.
There was a question, which was asked 8 years ago. What genre is it? And then Jessica replied, I think realistic fiction. And, you know, I like to think about that a lot.
Yeah, that's a good question and a good answer.
I'm pretty sure Jessica replied years later, too. So, like...
God, I love it. I love it so much.
Why do they do that?
Something about Goodreads reminds me. Do you remember Ask.com?
Yeah.
That's like what Goodreads reminds
Quora
me of.
How Quora is?
What's Quora?
It's kind of like Yahoo Answers.
Oh, yes.
But it's like a more unhinged version of Yahoo Answers. Yahoo Answers is gone, too, by the way. They
is
closed
ask.
It.
Is Ask.com still a thing?
Let's see. Ask.com?
Ask.
Yeah. Yeah. Looks like it's mostly a news site now.
Ew.
All right. Well, that's that. Hope you all enjoyed it.
Goodbye.
We're not leaving yet. We got some housekeeping.
What housekeeping?
Book, our patrons picked our next book.
Housekeeping.
And you want me to check you off? What kind of hotel is this place? The next book we're reading, voted on by our lovely patrons over at patreon.com/riffkpod, we're reading Fear Street number 8, Halloween Party by R.L. Stein, which released in September 1st, 1990. My favorite part is it didn't release in the month of October.
No, it released in September, so it could be peaked in October. Peaked in October.
You got to remember, this fucker was releasing one a month, though.
It's hot in Topeka.
He released another one in October. And honey, don't. I got to edit this podcast. I want to see. I'm going to look up what the other one is. Like, you know, for the number 9.
Rasputin.
Number 9 is The Stepsister, and it came out in October of 1990. Shouldn't he have just switched those?
Coda? Maybe this one has relevant plot.
I do know there's a murder.
Yeah, I think this is the first one with an actual genuine murder.
No.
Oh, no.
Dwayne fucking ganked that kid, dude.
Also, New Girl. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. There was a murder in that one, too.
Yeah, I don't think there's any supernatural in this one, though. From the back of the book, it seems just like a murder mystery. I think it's a bottle episode. I think it's all in one house, which mm-hmm. we haven't had yet.
So. Yeah, I think someone's murdered and they're trying to figure out who it was.
And from what I can tell, it's all new characters yet again.
I love it.
Can we talk? Have we talked about that? How I compiled all the characters?
I don't know if we've talked about the spreadsheet of the characters yet.
There's over 50 children he's added to this series. 50 teenagers, and like some of them have only been in like once. And he keeps coming up with new ones.
I mean, it's a town full of
teenagers. Bro, though, but bro, where's Suki? Do you Suki Thomas, the best character you have in the whole series? I want Suki Thomas, and the whole plot is they have to figure out why Meg's dead. Anyway, go watch that. Let's thank our patrons. We'd like to thank Natalie.
And Nacho.
And good old Nacho Wadey.
And Natalie.
And Nacho. Nacho Lady, I want you to go drink some water. And Natalie.
Bake cookies.
Bake cookies, Natalie. Bake cookies.
Bake cookies.
Mail us cookies.
Please.
We need girls. Anyway, if you want to support us, you can join our Patreon for $2.50 a month. You get access to monthly updates and our Discord server that we share with our other shows we do. And if you do $5 a month, you get all of that, ad-free episodes, a bonus Patreon podcast we do monthly called Ask God on Austin, where we read listener questions, and all that good stuff. Listener questions or Reddit questions, and we give our unsolicited advice. And if you ever wonder why Christiana's name is Mash Browns on the Discord, that's why. Anyway... How do we normally... I think I normally end this by reading you a good old joke.
No, I was hoping you'd forget this time.
Oh, no, honey. I can't forget.
Dude, the first time you forget, it's going to be so good.
I'll just add it in. Where can you always find happiness? Oh, shit. This is from Goofy Good Clean Jokes for Kids by Bob Phillips. So where can you always find happiness? In the dictionary.
Ugh.
So, like, the dictionary is a place where words are, right? How do you make a slow employee fast?
You put a fire under their ass.
Don't give him anything to eat for a while. Whoa.
I love it.
What is worse than a centipede with corns? What's corns?
They're like bunions.
Oh. What's worse than that?
What?
I don't get this one, so maybe you can actually explain this to me. A hippopotamus with chapped lips.
I don't know, because hippos' lips are big. I don't know. Yeah, corns are like bunions on the bottom of your feet, so like he has...
I got another one that I was only going to do two, but this one I don't understand either.
Okay.
What adds color and flavor to a very popular old pastime?
I don't know.
Lipstick. What does that mean? Is it kissing?
I don't know.
How is that good, clean jokes for kids?
I don't know.
Why did the comedian's wife sue for divorce?
Why?
She claimed he was trying to joke her to death.
Ugh. I'm suddenly very nauseous.
Boomer humor. Boomer humor.
Boomer humor.
We got the boomer humor. Boomer humor. The boomer humor. You say anything?
Oh, I'm so nauseous.